Great, let's pray. Father, we come to you now, Lord. Just thank you, God, this morning that you rule and reign. Lord, though it might be a little overcast today, God, thank you that we have so much to be grateful for and thankful for. Lord, thank you that you your mercies are new each and every morning. Thank you that you're the sovereign God in control of all things. And Lord, whatever might be plaguing us this morning, God, we don't have to be overwhelmed or overcome, but rather, thank you, we know you, the overcomer, oh God. Thank you, you're doing great things both in us and through us. For that, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we can praise God for today and as well that the U of M beat Wisconsin yesterday. So hallelujah and glory be to his name. Why don't we go ahead and take a seat real quick? And here's what I'd like to do is just, if there's any first-time guests with us this morning, if you wouldn't mind just raising your hand, we have a gift bag we'd like to give to you, and you can redeem. Great, we got a few guys. Just thanks, man. Hold them up, and Jimmy, we got there. And then we have a connect table here at the back of the room, and you can use your gift bag and redeem it for a gift, oddly enough. So that's great. I also want to say hi to everyone viewing by Periscope. We love you. We hope you enjoy this morning, and Jesus Christ is Lord. So listen, I need to dismiss the youth now. So I see our wonderful youth leader, Katama, here. If you're a high school or middle school aged or really just want to kind of relive your glory days and would like to go back as an adult, you're welcome to do that. Might be a little weird, but you can just go back with Katama if you're high school or middle school aged. I have one thing, and I don't think this pertains to a Periscope crowd, or if you're a guest here today. I don't think this will include you, though you can listen in. So this is just for family members here, or kind of those that are belong to Every Nation New Jersey. We are actually starting a financial campaign, and here's what we're calling it. We're calling it our Finisher Campaign. And here's what it is we're what you can tell that by your generous giving and by the grace of God, we have our own building now. And so I feel like it's turned out wonderful, spectacular. But now, as you can tell, there's just a number of things we need to do to finish the space off. God got us in here, but now we're kind of calling this making a house into a home, if you know what I mean. And so we have a number of different needs. Like, for example, we'd like to get sound wired into our nursery, into our children's area, as well the lobby, so that if you can't be in the space, at least you can still sit under the preaching and the teaching of the Word. We also have at the back of our building here, if you've ever tried to come in at night for prayer, it's so dark, I cannot believe that no one's fallen and something's happened, you know what I mean? So we need to be proactive there as well. We'd like to put some stuff on the walls, and as you can tell, we're now showing our services by the internet, and so we need to kind of make this space look a little bit better as people are viewing more and more. And so the list goes on and on. We'll continue to make this thing present before you. And so once again, if you're a guest, I'm not talking to you at all. We don't want your money. We love you. We're glad you're here. Listen, but if you're a member here, yes, we do want your money, all right? And so, but here's the cool thing. So we want to raise 10 grand by Thanksgiving. We're averaging about 65 to 70 people a Sunday. If each person was to give $150, we would blow away the 10 grand, all right? So it's not that big a hurdle. My wife and I, we're going to get into it, and I'm going to coax my daughter into getting into it as well. And so, would you prayerfully consider that. So let's get into the Word of God. Before we do that, I'm working with my buddy Michael in the back. We're tag-teaming. I got a video that's going to kind of set up where I want to take you. If you're watching it by Periscope, you got to Google this scene where at a New York Yankees game that a man proposed to a woman. You got that? Go ahead, Michael.
His face.
So that's good. So as you can see, he dropped the ring, and there was more drama taking place up in the stands than there were in the game. Now, I know you'll disagree over there, Justin, the diehard Yankees guy, but I don't know if you heard, even the ESPN announcers were drawn away from the game, and they're like, hey, what's going on up in the stands is better than what's going on in the field. And here's why I want to point this out, is whether you realize it or not, that there's this epic drama playing out in the world. Now, our life is going on, and we do our day-to-day things, but simultaneously, there's this story that's behind everything. It's the story of God reconciling man back to himself. It's the story of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, it was inaugurated some 2,000 years ago when a man by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, he arrived on the scene and he says, the kingdom of God is among you. And so here's what's so fascinating is this man, Jesus, he was a poor carpenter's son. You think about his life didn't go much further than Palestine, Galilee and Judea. And so, but yet we see this man's influence. We feel the ripple effect of his life to this day. So we started a series a couple weeks ago. We've called it Impact. And so today I want to talk to you about lasting impact. Because Jesus, he planted his life into this world 2,000 years ago, and the ripples, we're still feeling it today. That Jesus, if you're familiar with the parables, Jesus said that the kingdom of God, this story your life's playing out in, he says it starts off small like a mustard seed, but when it grows up, it becomes the greatest of all trees. And if you remember, Jesus, he died, he was planted into the earth. But then his life gave off 12 disciples who then, in an upper room, there are 120 of these Christ followers until you see in the day he ascends up into heaven, there's 500 that see him and become followers of Jesus until on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people are added to the kingdom of God until today, 2.2 billion Christ followers, people filled with the kingdom of God on the inside of them, they fill the earth. Like, this is an unbelievable life from what? A carpenter from Nazareth. And so we got to take a look at his life and start see, Lord, how can we make a lasting impact like Christ? Like, because you can't go anywhere without seeing something that this man's life didn't impact. So if you want to take the arts, for example, maybe you're that artsy person in here. But, I mean, you look at people like Michelangelo or Da Vinci. All of them were followers of this man, Jesus Christ. That maybe you're the musician in here, but you can't get away from composers, be it Bach or Bono, right? They've all been impacted by the life of this man, Jesus. You want to talk education in here? Maybe you got more degrees than Fahrenheit this morning, but you have to thank the carpenter from Nazareth for that. Because the great universities, Oxford, Princeton, Harvard, Yale, all founded to train pastors in order to share the Word of God with other people. Can I just show you, this is going to blow your mind. So Harvard, their mission statement when they began was this, to be plainly instructed and consider well that the main end of your life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ. How far Harvard has come from its original mission statement, okay? But you want to talk about human rights and the value of human life? Look no farther than to Christ followers. You have the abolition of slavery, be it William Wilberforce, Dr. Martin Luther King, or you can do it this way. How about the rights of the unborn and of children? Did you know that the Roman Empire, that if you had a baby and you didn't want a girl and you wanted a boy, you just take that little girl and you would chuck her on the dunghill. You would leave your infant child there. But Christ followers knew this, that every child was created in the image of God. And the early church would scoop up these babies out of the dung pile and they would raise them as their own sons and daughters. And so this is the power and the impact of Jesus' life. Hey, you don't even have to like Jesus or give a rip about him. And I promise you, at one point, you're putting his name into your mouth. Like, I know people that don't care about Jesus, and they just got to stub their toe one time, and what comes out of their mouth, right? It's not Benjamin Franklin, right? It's not that. It's Jesus Christ. And so we can see his impact. And just to show you how much it's rippled into my own life, every night before I go to bed, I have a ritual. Of course, I say my prayers and read my Bible, but I also, anybody got to kill the chocolate monster? Yeah. And so every night, man, I get my chocolate milk, and I get a banana and peanut butter and put that thing on, and I eat this banana. Don't judge me. It's a beautiful thing. And do you know who I have to thank for my peanut butter? The Lord Jesus Christ. Because a Christ follower by the name of George Washington Carver asked God, God, show me the miracles in your universe. And God replied to him, how about I start with the peanut? And this man discovered 300 ways to use the peanut, all because of these Christ followers. And so lasting impact, God's called you to make a lasting impact with your life, and we need to see how he did it. So if you have your Bible, go to Mark chapter 3. We're going to be reading verses 7 through 19. And I believe God's going to highlight for us three types of people, and then there's three types of relationships that we need to have into our life. And so, Jesus, I pray you give us grace and strength this morning in your name. And so I'll start reading verse 7 through 19, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. It says this. It says, Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd, if you have that in your Bible, underline that, from Galilee followed. And when they heard all he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples, circle disciples, to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him. For he had healed many so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever the evil spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But he gave them strict orders not to tell who he was. I just want to stop there for a second and comment. So do you see this scene? Like Jesus, his fame is beginning to spread throughout the region. And now people from around the region are coming to see this great rabbi Jesus who's healing people. And he's speaking with authority. But notice the scene. You got to get out of your head. Jesus is just some calm, meek, white dude with feathered hair. And he speaks with an accent. Children, come here. It's not the scene. Did you get that? He said, sick people from around the region, lepers, those with infirmity, they're trying to fight through this crowd in order to press onto Jesus. Like, don't think of some sweet little scene. Think Walking Dead, all right? Like, they're trying to get to him. Jesus is like, hey, fellas, get the boat ready because they're starting to press in here. And he's preaching while all this healing and this commotion's going on. He says moments there's demons, demon-possessed people fall at his feet, begin to foam at the mouth and crying out, you're the Son of God. So you guys get distracted if someone gets up to go to the bathroom, all right? I mean, you got everything breaking loose in this scene. And here's why I wanted to highlight it is listen, church is messy because people are messy. All of us in our brokenness and things. And so the moment this becomes the pretty church and everyone's just all perfect and put together, we've become fake or impotent, all right? And so this church is always going to be a little bit messy to the glory of God because we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're making an impact into people's lives. And so let me continue. Verse 13. He says this, it says, then Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him, and he appointed 12, designating them apostles, underline apostles, and then it says this, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed, Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the name Boanerges, which means the sons of thunder. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. And so notice the three groups of people that the scriptures are highlighting for us this morning. There's this, and I think we have it on a slide, Michael. We have the crowd, you have the disciples, and then you have the apostles. And so if I could say it a different way, is you have the crowd, or listeners, you have the disciples who are learners, and you have the apostles who are leaders. And so do you notice how I did that too? They're all starting with L, so you should be impressed with that, all right? They teach you that in pastor school. And so you're either a listener, a learner, or a leader. And so if you can see, there's this these concentric circles that the closer the relationship, the greater the impact. And so my prayer is that we would all be leaders. We would all be apostles, men and women sent on a mission from Almighty God. And so, but let me break these things down. Let's start with this. Let's start with the crowd. And so these are listeners. These are people that they came, they heard about this Rabbi Jesus, and now they're leaning in. They're starting to listen to his teachings. See if this guy's legit. Does this guy have anything to offer me? And so, hey, if you're a listener this morning, you're just kind of checking out this Jesus thing, I'm so glad you're here. If you're on Periscope right now and you're just kind of listening to see what Jesus, I'm so glad you're listening in. But here's the reality. You can't stay there. You got to continue to move in closer and closer to this Jesus. So, sorry, Justin, I'm going to preach about a little New York Metropolitan baseball, all right? Any Mets fans in here? Oh, all right. Strictly Yankees. You're not going to like this illustration, okay? Back in 2012, they had this great pitcher. I think he was a lefty, Johan Santana. I'm not sure if you've heard of him. He was their ace at the time. And in 2012, Johan Santana, he threw the first no-hitter in Mets history, which blew my mind. I'm like, they had not had a no-hitter since, it took them to 2012? And so, but sure enough, they did. And as the last out occurred, the Mets, the dugout, they ran. Michael, do the other one. So the dugout, they emptied the dugout, and all the players are hounding Johan Santana. And you know who else is? I don't know if you see this other fool with the jean shorts on. There's a guy with jean shorts and a Gary Carter number 8 replica jersey he bought from Dick's Sporting Goods. And he's on the pile. He's like, we did it, man. And you can see, go back to the other slide. Even the players don't notice, and they're hugging him. This is amazing, right? And they're doing all this stuff. And so, but here's what happened. The guy's name is Rafael Diaz. And so it took a little while, but they're like, hey, dude, who's the dude in the jean shorts? Security. And security nabbed him, threw him to the ground. And so that night, the players went out, and they celebrated the no-hitter, and Rafael Diaz spent the night in jail, all right? Because you might have the uniform on and look the part, but listen, you're not on the team. And so the reality is listeners, hey, it's cool to listen. Hey, maybe you got the jersey or even bring your Bible to church, but if you're going to be on the outskirts and the fringes, there could come a day and a time, man, when this thing is over with, and if you find out, hey, you're not really on the team, it's going to go bad for you. And so that's my encouragement and my appeal. You know, Jesus says in Matthew 7:22, he says that there's coming a time when some people are going to be cast into what they call outer darkness. And he says, some are going to cry out to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do miracles in your name? And he's going to be like, who are you? I don't know you. And so this can be important that it's not just, you're not just a Christian by association. Like just because I go to McDonald's doesn't make me a Big Mac, okay? There's more to it than that. And so let's go on. Let's talk about then the disciples. And these are learners. The disciples are learners. That's what it means. A disciple literally means a learner. And so I think in North America, we've kind of gotten it wrong a little bit. Because in North America, for us, discipleship is, hey, go to a few classes and you're a disciple. But the reality is, and listen, I'm all for classes, and we do classes here. But if it just ends there, it's incomplete and it's impotent. Because discipleship, at its root, is about relationships. And so I think there's three key relationships you have to have in your life if you're going to be a true disciple of Christ. And I don't know if you guys have write down notes, but if you don't hear anything else I say, I want you to get these 3 points. Is all of you need to have, number one, is of these three relationships, a Paul or a mentor, a Barnabas, who's a peer, and you need a Timothy, who's a spiritual son or daughter, someone you're raising up. Paul, Barnabas, and Timothy. It's crucial that you have these relationships in your life if you're going to be an authentic disciple of Jesus Christ. Okay, let me break them down for you. So we have Paul. And Paul's like, he's your prototypical a father figure, mentor. He had spiritual sons like Timothy and Titus. And so, now listen, here's the reality is, I believe that Hollywood understands discipleship better than we do in the church. All right. So let me, for example, when Anakin Skywalker, when he needed to learn sweet Jedi skills, who did he call on? He called on Liam Neeson, right? But now, when Orlando Bloom, when he needed to go on the Holy War and the Crusades, and he needed to be trained up in his skill, who did he call on? Liam Neeson in the Kingdom of Heaven, right? And then when a young Bruce Wayne needed to learn superhero skills, who did he call on? Liam Neeson, if you saw the Batman Begins. And so in all this, now Liam Neeson is not going to be here to disciple you. So you need to find somebody who can be your mentor, someone who can help guide you, who's spiritually further along to you to help train you to become a disciple of Christ. And so I had mentors and continue to have mentors. You never outgrow this. And so I have mentors in my life. One guy was Pastor Ron Lewis. He's preached here. He's our founding pastor in New York City. And I remember, Susan will remember this, he's over at our house leading us in a Bible study. And he goes to the can for a minute, like goes to the bathroom. He comes out, he has his glasses on, and he's got the biggest wad of toilet paper stuck in the corner of his glasses. And I'm like, this is a Jedi trick, right? He's trying to see if I'll be distracted, and I'm not biting. And so I'm just paying attention. We get through the whole Bible study, and he's walking out, and then he sees in the mirror the big toilet paper stuck. And he's like, why didn't you tell me about that, right? I thought it was a trick, man. And so that was that. And you know, listen, it might not be just one person, because I know there's certain men that I saw doing marriage right, and I'm like, I want to sit with that guy and find out what it takes to be a godly husband. I know there's a guy, I've shared this before, there's a guy, Jerry Palmieri, he's the strength coach with the New York Giants. And Jerry, I saw the way he raised his daughter. And I married his daughter and her husband, his name's escaping. What is it? Trent. Married the two of them. And I saw this woman kept herself, this girl, like she's a tremendous leader. She kept herself for marriage, all these different things. I sat Jerry down. I'm like, bro, tell me everything you know, all right? And I need to know. And so now I know, like when I was raising my little girls, like, listen, I was going to date my daughters, woo my daughters, because I don't want some young knucklehead to come over, some idiot, and just kind of woo my daughters and steal them away. So any of you young guys trying to like make a move on my girls, you're going to have to work at it, brother, all right? Because we laid the groundwork early on in their lives. Because why? I was discipled. And then there's Barnabas. So Barnabas was Paul's spiritual running mate, peer to peer, shoulder to shoulder. Do you know that the Jewish culture, that the rabbis, they would always get their young men and they would put them together in twos. Did you ever notice Jesus sent the disciples out in twos? It was called the haverim, that you needed to have the haver, or a friend is what it literally means, that you can bounce stuff off of. And so there's certain things I know in my own life that I'm grateful to have, like a guy like Pastor Shino in my life, that I can have a spiritual friend, that we're doing life together, challenging one another. Like, his favorite movie is Seabiscuit, which I think is a weird movie to like as your favorite movie. And so his favorite movie, and there's this unbelievable classic line where they're telling the story of Seabiscuit, and he's getting ready to press against War Admiral, who is at the time was the premier thoroughbred. And what happened is Seabiscuit's jockey got injured, and so he couldn't ride in this epic race. And so the injured jockey pulled the jockey aside that was going to ride Seabiscuit, and he said, here's what you need to do. He says, get out of the gate fast, because Seabiscuit, he likes to go fast, and then he likes to be out front. But just before you get to the last length of the race, he says, I want you to pull back on him a little bit. And he says, I want you to let War Admiral get right alongside of him, because I want Seabiscuit to see him out of the corner of his eye. Because when Seabiscuit is pushed or pressed, he goes to another level. Race starts off, bam, out of the gates. Seabiscuit's taking off, and then we get to the last length, and War Admiral starts to gain on him like this. Seabiscuit gets a look at him, pins his ear back, and boom, he's gone to win the race. And it was this unbelievable thing, and that's why I want to have Haverim. I want to have Barnabas, men in my life that provoke me and challenge me to go faster, stronger in the things of God. And so, and you need to be able to bounce things off people. Like, there's certain things I wasn't going to go to Pastor Ron Lewis and talk to him about. I'm sorry. It was just kind of weird or creepy to me, right? So I'm a newly married husband. And so, listen, I don't know, like, it's different now. Like, back in the day, my day, like, church, they never talked about sex, about any of that stuff. And so it's even still a little bit weird. Like, oh, he said that word. Yes, I said that word. And they never talked about it. So I'm like, I mean, what is the church? Maybe that stork thing's true. Or gremlins. Maybe water hits us and we reproduce. Or how does this all work? And so I it's funny. I grew up in a locker room. And so some of the stories going on like your sex life, I'm like, is that for real? And so I remember I'm in this conundrum as a young married husband. I'm trying to honor my wife and love God. And I'm like, man, I just don't know. And I had a Haverim. I had a guy, my peer, and I could bounce stuff off of him. I'm like, hey, man, where are the boundaries? And I was so grateful to talk to this guy. And he's telling me, he's like, I'm like, you're allowed to do that? I'm like, are you serious? That too? And I'm like, bro, could you draw me a diagram or something like that? This is fascinating. And so it was the most freeing thing for me. And so that's why you need to have other peer-to-peer relationships in your life. And then lastly is Timothy. This is your spiritual son and daughter. And if I could just be as frank as possible, is this. I think we stink at this. That I think that people, you're waiting to have it all the knowledge there is, and let me tell you, you're never going to get there. I start cracking up, like, guys in particular, they're never ready to start a family because you don't have enough money, you don't have to, and I'm like, bro, you're never going to have enough money, okay? You just make it happen. And it's the same way with spiritual sons and daughters. And if you don't know who that would be, who's someone you could take under your wing, you need to just pray and ask God. At least you're doing that. Because what happens is, if you're stale in your walk with God, it's because you're not raising up sons and daughters. If you've hit a plateau in your life, it's because you're not raising up sons and daughters. Because here's what'll happen. If you've had kids, you get this. Like kids make you grow up fast. So how about this? I remember we're doing driving. You know, your daughter gets their driver's permit, and then you're driving with them because you've been telling them, hey, 10 and 2, hey, do this, check both and all that. And then I remember I'm driving, and I'm, if pastors did this, texting while I did that, and my daughter's like, hey, I thought you said, right? And I'm like, shut up. Do you want to get your license? All right, then leave me alone, okay? But what? They call out a hypocrite. They're going to call out and see all the shortcomings in your life, and so it takes you to the next level spiritually. How about, too, there's certain things. We homeschooled for 1 year. We decided we are not called to homeschool, okay? And my wife and I, and we're trying to, I'm trying to teach basic math, and the workbook's talking about a denominator. I'm like, what's a denominator again? I can't remember what a denominator is, right? I had to go back and, you know, restudy and do all that kind of stuff. And so, but spiritually, you're going to have your Timothy is going to ask you questions, and you're going to have to go look, and you're going to have to go find it, and you're going to have to own it, and it's going to take you to your next level in God. Okay, I need to see where's a good, and then here's the last thing is this, is apostles. Apostles. Here's what the word apostle means. There's the crowd, there's the disciples, and then there's the apostles. Apostle means this, one sent on a mission with a message. And here's why that's, I think, is important is this. And I need to distinguish. There is in the scriptures, if you read, there's the apostles, big A. And here's what that means. So these are the men that God gave authority to write scriptures. These are the men that didn't pray for people to be well. They just said, get up, right? So there's a larger measure of grace, but it still doesn't change the fact that you and I, if you call Christ, you're a Christ follower, you've been sent on a mission. Matthew 28 says, go into all the world and make disciples. 2 Corinthians 5 says this, that he's given you the ministry or the mission of reconciliation, participating in God's story. And so we're sent on a mission. And here's the amazing thing. And listen, don't hear this from a loving pastoral heart. To sit in these seats and just receive Christ's perfect sacrifice, his perfect life, his Holy Spirit, and then to be unmoved by that, something's wrong, all right? And so Jesus, he saves us and then calls us to mission. Anyone see that movie, Saving Private Ryan? Have you seen this one? So unbelievable film. And if you remember, the story is Matt Damon plays this guy, Private Ryan, and then we have Tom Hanks. He plays, I think it's Captain Miller or something like that. And so remember what happens? They need to get Private Ryan back to the homeland safe. And so what happens? All these men die trying to save this guy's life and get him back home side during the war. Until finally Tom Hanks' character, this is spoiler alert, I'm going to wreck it for you, is Tom Hanks dies. And as he's breathing his last breath, he pulls Private Ryan in and he says this to him, earn this. And it fast forwards to Matt Damon later on in his life, and then it hits him as he's an old man. He's like, he grabs his wife and says, tell me I'm a good husband. Tell me I'm a good father. And it like hit him. He's like, did I earn what was given to me? And here's what I need to preface. Hey, salvation is a free gift from God. You don't earn that. But here's what happens, though. But there, what you do is you join in Christ's mission in gratitude and worship of all that he has done in his sacrifice for you. We get to participate in his mission. And so I'm gonna close with this, So Jesus, he made this lasting impact with his life, that he took 12 disciples, and we still feel the ripple effect of it today. And so, listen, at the end of the day, you want to be a man or a woman on a mission. Like, here's what I know. It's so funny. Do you know why, like, people love video games so much? It's because they get to vicariously live out this significant life. Do you know why we're so drawn to hero movies? Because we know that we have a hero and that we're called to do something heroic. For the record, have you ever noticed that every hero has an eerily similar story that you take, for example, take Superman. Do you remember what his dad's name was? Jor-El. El means God. And that he was what? Sent to Earth to save Earth. He comes in. He doesn't appear on the scene until he's 30 years old. And what does he do? He lives his life to push back darkness in the world. They have this other guy, Thor. Have you seen him? That Thor was this God-man, and his father, Odin, sent him down to Earth, and he lost his godness and just became a man until he suffered and died and would be raised again to receive once again the powers of being a god and rescue the world. I feel like I've heard that story before somewhere, right? And so, see, the reality is that our gospel story is the story that has impacted all the narratives of all stories over all time, because this is what our lives are playing out in. Let me pray for you. Father, just thank you for this time. Lord, I just sense such destiny, and my prayer has been and is, Lord, that we'd be a church, Lord, filled with world changers. God, that, Lord, as you place us at our place of work, in our neighborhoods, God, in our schools, that you're using us, that you're planting us to impact other people, Lord, and ultimately the world. God, give us grace, give us strength, give us courage. We thank you. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Dottie.